You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. It's the 30th day of November. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Eric, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us. Let's start with the winter storm that's supposed to be trekking its way across the Midwest. How bad is this one?
You know, it's pretty rough. It's going to be really bad, I think, in parts of parts of Nebraska and South Dakota, parts of Iowa, Minnesota. That's going to be on the backside of this big low-pressure system. This is the one that started off about a day and a half ago, came on shore in California, causing a lot of flooding problems, but certainly packed in a bunch of snow in the mountains out west. So as it comes through, I think here's the major things I'm watching. You know, we're certainly worried about maybe a foot plus of snow in parts of Nebraska. So this is going to be a major, and a second big blizzard for that region. But around here, rain's going to be starting very, very late tonight, probably more like early tomorrow morning. And it's going to be coming out of the south. So our temperatures are really going to rebound. We're going to see 60 degrees tomorrow, but it's going to be extremely wet. I'm expecting across the state of Illinois anywhere between 1 to 2 inches of rain, depending on your location. Now, the severe weather threat today is down south. So it's in Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, parts of eastern Oklahoma. And tomorrow, we do have the chances as this comes through. It might come through in three big rounds of rainfall that we could be dealing with the potential for some severe storms around here as well, especially to the south of us in Illinois. So that's that first system. And I'll tell you, behind it, we've got cold air that comes in again. And that cold air may be locked in possibly through around the 8th, 9th, 10th of November. And we'll even see another potentially big winter storm sometime around the 6th through the 8th of December. So, we got cold air locked into the 10th day of December here coming up.
Anything for the middle of December that we can look forward to?
Yeah, we've been watching the development of a couple of things. There are some global circulations that we pay attention to that give us a clue about the longer term weather. And the names, here's a couple of names. We have the Madden-Julian Oscillation, the Arctic Oscillation, and another one called the Pacific North America Pattern. And basically all three of those are coming together such that the polar vortex is strengthening. That keeps the cold air locked away up in the North Pole. We have the Madden-Julian Oscillation going toward its warmer phases for the United States, and we're going to be seeing a deep trough developing in the Gulf of Alaska. And as a result of that, starting maybe around the 10th, maybe lasting all the way to the 15th, we're going to get some reprieve from this much, much colder than average weather. So it's kind of like a mid-month, call it a warm-up, but really it's going to be a return more toward normal with maybe a slight warm bias. And the big questions that all of us meteorologists are trying to answer is, what's the longevity? How long is that going to last? So we start looking at some analog years for the rest of winter. That's maybe the real big question here. Good analog years might be 2002, 2003, that winter, or the winter of 2014-15. And they all had kind of moderated Decembers, but big colder outbreaks that came again in January and February. So this by no means is me saying winter is over. But I will tell you this, one of the big features we watched that kind of has a correlation to our winter pattern is El Nino. And right now, the Kelvin wave that's been kind of progressing, below the ocean surface, and will be surfacing with some warm water across the equatorial Pacific, looks as though it'll be reaching a peak here in the coming weeks. And that actually makes a lot of sense because El Nino is actually named after Jesus, it's because El Nino's typically reach a peak around his birthday. And so this is falling in nicely with what the science would tell us.
Wow, that's kind of a neat little tidbit. Thank you for that one. Yeah. Hey, turn your attention to South America. They got to a really good start, especially, I think, in Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil, the monsoon arrived on time. We had good, timely precipitation early in the season. So the crop went in, and so far you're hard-pressed to look across Brazil and find an area that's been stressed. We are looking very wet in northern Brazil. While the MJO I just mentioned goes into these phases that are warm for North America, they're typically wet for northern parts of South America. So they're going to be wet over the coming weeks. But people at this point, it's hard to say whether or not that's going to be detrimental. It will be a little drier in southern Brazil, but this is a region that is already doing just fine on its soil moisture. So we're not seeing too much of a stress in the short term for Brazil. And I think the bigger translation there is, what does this mean for the safrinha crop, that corn and cotton crop that comes second? Because they got everything in on time, I think that it means that the chances of that second crop also going in on time, which gives it its best chance for high yields, is likely as well. But the only place that's been a little stressed would be Argentina. They've had a lot of severe weather. It's been localized, so there's been localized flooding. and it's kind of delayed the planting progress down there and caused some issues with replanting. But still, the bigger elephant in the room is the fact that Brazil has really gotten off to a great start. So we'll have to monitor very closely to see if any stresses emerge once we get into January and February, especially for that first crop beans. So at this point, there's nothing that we can point at and say, wow, disaster's coming. We just don't see it yet.
Hey, you have a great weekend.
I will. You too.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.